America, from the deserts to the sea, from the mountains to the snow, you are tuned in to the Johnny Punish Show, produced by the Veterans Today Network and BTN Radio, brought to you by HireVeterans.com, America's job board for U.S. veterans. Let's get this show rockin'!
I've spent all my years fighting for a place in the sun. And I hit the ground running.
Okay, lots to talk about today. Welcome to the Johnny Punish Show. Let's get started. Immigration is the topic for today. This is Sunday morning. We just got informed that the Chris Kobach from Kansas, that's the Kansas Secretary of State, is going to be the head of the transition team for the Trump administration. What does that mean? Who is that guy? And what are we talking about here? Well, let's just go over quickly who this Chris Kobach from Kansas is. I like to refer to him as KKK. That's Chris Kobach from Kansas. He is the Secretary of State, and he's had a big influence on conservative immigration and voting rights policy that has been felt across the country. Kobach helped to write the Arizona's infamous anti-immigrant Show Me the Papers law, and it has helped to shape and defend these stuff in courts. It's very draconian, of course. It restricts the states and municipalities across the countries. He's been a leader in the effort to restrict voting rights under the guise of eliminating voter fraud, often raising the specter of undocumented immigrants illegally swaying elections. He spearheaded one of the country's most restrictive voting laws in Kansas and has advocated similar measures in states across the country. This guy actually used to work under John Ashcroft. Remember him? At the Justice Department during the Bush administration? Yeah, that guy. Anyway, Kobach, KKK, joined the Immigration Reform Law Institute, IRLI, a legal affiliate of the nativist white supremacist Federation for American Immigration Reform. That's FAIR, F-A-I-R. Love the acronym. Nice. Where he still retains a council position. Anyway, he was elected to the position of Kansas, the Secretary of State in Kansas in 2010. Kobach is active in GOP politics. He advocates for the adoption of ultra-conservative policies as a member of the GOP's platform in 2012 and in 2016. He's been the acting immigration advisor to Mitt Romney back in the 12 and helped to shape Donald Trump's border wall policy this go-around. Kobach also hosts a weekly radio program in Kansas City where he's trafficked in conspiracy theories about President Obama and immigrants. And that's who KKK is. Now, what does that mean to all of us? Well, wow. Okay, so President Trump is going to put this guy in charge of immigration policy, and we know exactly where that's going. Confrontation. Okay, so here we go. Bottom line is, folks, I don't want to hear from you that I'm so pro-undocumented worker that I don't want law. This is nonsense. Everybody wants law and order. Everybody wants enforcement of law. It's just a question of how do we implement it. And we have one side that's xenophobic, that wants to shock the system, that wants to just blame these people for everything we've ever done, and they just want to just get them out of here quickly and let's just rip it up. Well, that sounds good when you're running for a campaign or just yelling if you want to complain on Facebook. But in reality, we're dealing with human beings. We're dealing with policy. We're dealing with a big government. It just doesn't work that way, folks. Reactionary stuff is not going to be effective. But what you can do is understand that we need to get to a place. We need to get to a place where everybody is above the shadows, not under tunnels. Everybody is working, paying taxes, and that we respect the law. If the United States wants workers, great. Then give out work permits. The reason why we have 10 to 15 million people without work permits in the country is not because these people are bad people. They're not. They're just normal people looking for higher wages. They don't care if it's Mexico, US, or China. They would go anywhere because that's where people go. Labor travels to places where it can get the most income. most of these people are, you know, at the very bottom of the income economic sphere. So they just have to do what they got to do to survive. So let's just take it easy on the working man, okay, guys? Take it easy. Let's look at the fact that we are the problem. What I mean by that is that you are the problem. You. In 2008, before 2008, when the economy was great, everybody was making bank, the housing was going crazy, everybody had million-dollar homes, McMansions, whatever, everybody looked the other way, you know it. So basically, you knew you went down to the restaurant, you knew that guy washing the dishes was undocumented, but you didn't care, because you had money, things were going great for you, so what do you care? You looked the other way, but you knew it. You knew the guy washing your car was undocumented, and you knew the guy picking your tomatoes was undocumented, but you didn't care. You didn't say anything because it didn't matter. You were raking in the bucks. But come 2008, when the banksters ripped you off and took you for trillions of dollars, specifically took all your home equity away, put you in the poorhouse, bankrupted the middle class, we lost jobs, we lost companies, we lost everything. You blamed it on the working guy because it was easier. But that's historically, you've done that. Everybody's done that. Everybody blames the lowest guy on the totem pole. But that's irresponsible, folks. That's highly irresponsible. What is responsible is to take responsibility for yourself. Understand how we got here. Once we understand how we got here, let's fix it. We all agree to fix it. We just disagree on how. So take down the xenophobia. Take down the hatred. Temper it down. Let's think slowly, methodically, and let's just be reasonable. What we can do right now is get these people out of the shadows and give them work permits right now for a year or two or 5 years. You pick a number. Let's just give them work permit for 4 or 5 years. And then give them a path to either get out of the country after that work permit expires, or a path to become a citizen. And during this whole time, let them pay taxes legally. Now, they already pay taxes right now, but you don't want to talk about that because they're paying into the Social Security system right now with fake Social Security numbers. But you don't want to talk about it because you have to admit that these people are getting ripped off, not taking your benefits. They're paying into the tax system and not getting a damn thing for it. So remember that, folks. You know, be reasonable. Be freaking reasonable. Where's your decency, for God's sakes? Come on now. Let's just be cool, all right? Okay, now, we do that. They're out of the shadows. They have driver's licenses. They're working. They're smiling. They're picking your tomatoes for a fair wage. Everybody's cool. And then slowly, those people can go back to where they came from or become citizens with requirements just like everybody else. Let's just do that. It'd be a lot easier, okay? Then we don't need a deportation force. We don't need to hate people. And we don't need riots in the streets. But that's Johnny Punish. I'm a reasonable guy. I want law and order. I want humanitarian. I don't want to see a humanitarian crisis. I want people to work with each other. I want team people to be cool. But you know what? It ain't going to be that way, is it? Because we got KKK leading the administration for immigration. Great job, Donald. Racist jerk. Yeah, he's a racist. So please don't try to argue that away. I know you voted for him. It doesn't matter. There's been a lot of racist presidents. Who cares? Andrew Johnson, Andrew Jackson, Thomas Jefferson, they're all racist. Donald Trump is not even in the top five. So just chill, okay? These guys are racist. I mean, he said the guy's not qualified to be a judge because he's Mexican. Come on. He's already president-elect. You can admit he's a racist now. I know you couldn't admit it last week because you would have had to deal with that. And what you really wanted was, you know, you want to get rid of the bad government. You wanted to get rid of government corruption. You wanted to get rid of this broken government, the system of GOP corruption and Democratic corruption. I get it. Most of you out there that voted for Trump are not racist at all. In fact, you're decent people. You look the other way about the grab the pussy thing and the assault of women and his comments about... You look the other way. You had to. Because if you didn't, you wouldn't get to fix your broken government, which is a priority to you. So you sold yourself down the river, you sold yourself to rock and roll because, you know, you just wanted to fix this. And I get it. Unfortunately, we get the consequences of this. And the consequences of having a racist president who's hiring a white nationalist like this idiot KKK guy and the other idiot Steve Bannon, who's another white nationalist racist, is going to go against your values. But you got to own them because That's what you did. You chose Donald Trump. He was the right message, but the wrong messenger. But here we are, President-elect Donald Trump. We got him. We got to live with him. So we're going to get the Steve Bannon guy, the alt-right guy, the white nationalist guy, who's going to be promoting KKK, Nazism. We see that going around, spray painting, white power rules, white power. But most of you white folk out there, you're not racist. I know you're not. I have friends that voted for Trump. I know they're not racist. I know it. But here we are. They looked the other way, and now we got them. Okay, so what are we going to do with this KKK guy? Man, it's going to get brutal out there, guys. Get ready. These people are going to get nasty. It's going to cause a problem. Let me explain it to you real quick. You're going to try to deport 10 to 15 million people out of the country real quick. Okay, great. That, you think that's going to go over well? Okay, we got 50 million Hispanic Americans that are American citizens that are tied directly to these people. Their uncles, their aunts, their children. Do you think that you're going to deport them and not cause a riot? Are you out of your mind? These people are going to go crazy. I am going to go crazy. And there's going to be protests in the streets. Let me remind you that Donald Trump did not win the election of the popular vote. In fact, when it's all said and done and counted, Hillary Clinton is going to be winning about 2 million votes. That's right. California hasn't been fully counted yet. No wonder they want to get, you know, Cal exit and get out of the damn union. Jesus. I mean, are you kidding? The popular person did not win the election. Donald Trump is not the most popular person. Get that through your head. The Electoral College sucks. And if you think I'm a bitter Hillary voter, come on, man. Go to veteranstoday.com and check out Johnny Punish, campaign reform. Google it. In 2012, I was yelling about electoral reform, the Electoral College getting rid of it. So this is not something new for me. It's just something new for you because Donald Trump won. But here's the thing. Donald Trump agrees with me. In 2012, he said, and I quote, "The Electoral College is a disaster for democracy." This, he said this before he was running for president. So get that through your thick skull. The only reason he supports the Electoral College is because it got him to be the president. So, that's it. The bottom line is the Electoral College sucks. We got to get a popular vote. We need reform. I'm not advocating for put Hillary back in. I think you know Hillary's better off not going in because we're a divided country. And no matter who is president is going to be in trouble. So, Trump, you want the trouble? More than happy to have it, buddy. Because you know what? We're in trouble. So you deal with it. But I'm not advocating for Hillary to go to be the president. That ship has sailed. It's done. What I'm advocating for is the future. We've got to put an end to this nonsense. The Electoral College is created in the 1700s, for God's sakes. Are you kidding me? Come on. I don't even use a laptop from 3 years ago, let alone a voting system from 300 years ago or 250 years ago. Come on. So take it easy on slamming old Johnny Punish here about the Electoral College. It's not because I'm bitter. That's nonsense. Take that and shove it. Okay, now, let's go talk about real quick. We're going to have Ian Duarte on our show here. He's a Mexican lawyer from the Mexican side of the border. He's going to come on and talk about the Mexican position as it reflects to the Donald Trump policy and the KKK guy. And we're going to talk to him shortly. Before that, I do want to share with you a brand new song that I wrote. It's called Decency's Calling. It's a call to decency. It's ode and reflected and inspired by Donald Trump and his 18-month campaign against decency. I don't think I need to go over that with you, all the indecent things he said, do I? I mean, come on. Look, Trumpsters out there, it's over. Your guy's president. I get it. You could now condemn him. You have permission to condemn him for his indecent behavior and racism because he's still there. And will he do good for the economy? I don't know. Maybe he will. You know, he's got a Republican Congress. He's got no excuses. So maybe he will. And if he does, I'm gonna be the first one to applaud him. Regardless of his racism, I'll be saying on the radio and in my articles, congratulations to Trump. For example, I said that on Facebook when he basically slammed the GOP to the ground and gave them the old headlock. You know, they tapped out. So bottom line is, I think that's cool. So I'm going to applaud when he does something good. But I got a really bad feeling about this guy, folks. Trump is a confrontational guy. It's has been his MO since he's born, 70 years. If he doesn't get what he wants, he sues you. If he doesn't get what he wants, he yells at you. He condescends to you. This guy is confrontational. I don't see how Peña Nieto is going to go in and negotiate with Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump's going to listen and then tell him to go screw himself. And Donald Trump's going to do whatever the hell he wants to do. And it's going to cause a problem. Anyway, let's get right to it. I want you to hear my new song called Decency's Calling. And it's pretty catchy, pretty hooky. I hope you guys like it. After you listen to the song, we're going to bring on Ian Duarte. And we're going to talk about this issue of immigration, the wall. And we're going to talk about how the Mexican government is going to respond to the Trump confrontation. Okay, here we go. Decency's Calling.
Listen to me, it's time to stop stalling. Xenophobia makes everything appalling. Empathy, equality, culture overhauling. The wall behind, decency's calling. Political correctness is incorrect. Rude boy vulgarism, I object to the nasty ways and wasted days. Cynicism has got to go away. Listen to me, it's time to stop stalling. Xenophobia makes everything appalling. Empathy, equality, culture overhauling. The wall behind, decency's calling. Waste of bigotry and hatred of our neighbor. Say I'm a dreamer, but at the very least I'm tearing down walls and there's no end. Disorder, jointy people, and that's an order. Yeah! Social justice, tragedies. Peace on earth.
I have Ian Duarte. He's an expert on Mexican economics, Mexican politics, and American politics. We're going to discuss Donald Trump, the wall, immigration, and the Mexican government's potential response as Peña Nieto is going to be meeting with Trump in the first 100 days, actually before the first 100 days. Are you on the line, Ian?
Yeah. Hi, John. How are you?
Perfect. Go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself first before we get started, and we'll get right into it.
Sure. I'm Ian Duarte. I'm an attorney here in Mexico. I have a law firm called Lion Strategy Group. We provide consulting for legal services and IT services also. I've been involved in politics here in Mexico since I was 16. And I worked in the federal government since I was 23. And in Profeco, Ensenada, and in Mexico City, Puebla, Tlaxcala, and Hidalgo, I work as an auditor in the Federal Commission of Electricity. Because of my dual citizenship, American and Mexican, I'm involved also in American politics deeply because I have family there. I follow it there. I was born there. I live there. So I also vote in both countries and because I really care about it.
Well, let's get started. Number one, we know the president-elect is Donald Trump. He's been spending the last 18 months spewing out a lot of rhetoric about what he's going to do about immigration and build this beautiful wall that he says and put his name on it. He's going to deport 11 million people, or at least the criminals first, and then he's going to deport everybody else. There's a lot of stuff to talk about, Ian. I want to find out from Mexican point of view, Peña Nieto is going to be meeting with him shortly here, I think in the next week or two. before he gets started on his first 100 days. What's going on with the Mexican government? What's going on with the issues? How do you see them? What's happening?
It's both things. I mean, one thing is the government. Another thing is citizens here in Mexico, because the federal government is highly unpopular. And since he invited Trump when he was in campaign, if I'm not correct, before the first debates, it was highly criticized because of the rhetoric Trump was making. I feel now that's more diplomatic. I mean, he's president-elected, so he needs to do that. He needs to discuss the wall. He needs to discuss immigration. He needs to discuss trade also, because he's been very, very loud about it also. We'll have to see what happens. But Mexicans are really surprised of the results.
About 95% of Mexican people are anti-Trump. Is that fair to say that?
Yeah, it's fair to say.
My guess is the Mexican people are just feel indignified by his statements, and it's a matter of dignity. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, many Mexicans have family in the United States, and also, I mean, they travel, they trade, and with that rhetoric, it's a really punch in the dignity of the Mexicans.
Now, but the government of Mexico is different than the people. They're clearly not popular with the Mexican people. How is Nieto going to survive this? You know, obviously, 95% or 90% of the Mexican public is really pissed off at Nieto. Will he survive?
I'm not sure. I mean, they have an election in 2018. It's two more years. So it's really tough for them if they want to win again the presidency. But, I mean, they have to meet with Trump. I mean, there's no other way. Even if it's a highly unpopular thing move to do, it's still politics. It's still another. It's going to be elected president. He's going to be president in 2017. So he has to do it. There's no other way.
The Mexican economy is, in terms of trade with the United States, is it number two or number three in the world with the United States? Okay. Because I believe it's Canada's number one. And it's a toss-up between China and Mexico is number two, number three. I'll have to look that up, but it's in the top three for sure. So in terms of trade, what is this guy Trump doing? Does he want to make a trade war with Mexico? Does he want to physically go to war against Mexico?
Well, I mean, if he wants to build a wall, I'm not really sure right now, because he's been back and forth since he won. Because now I've read it, it's going to be a fence, not a wall. So they're gonna need some money to do it. So they may raise taxes on commerce, on permits to enter the country, on trade, and that way they can pay the wall. But I mean, he's been really critical of companies moving to Mexico. Like, not sure if it was Nestle or
I believe it was Ford that actually going to build more cars in Mexico and close the plant in the States and is bringing it to Mexico. But Ford said it was they're not going to actually lose jobs in America. They're just adding jobs in Mexico. That's all.
I hope he does a great job. But I mean, we have to see, because he's been really back and forth on everything. And every issue he's been a favor and against.
Well, let me say this, Ian. Here's something interesting. You know, Trump is 70 years old and he does have a history that we could look at. His history is confrontational. If you look at every one of his business deals, they're always confrontational. He even does it with his employees. He won't even pay contractors after they do the job, saying, well, they didn't do the job they didn't like, so he's going to cut their thing in half. He's always unconfrontational. If he doesn't like what you do, he sues you. This is a confrontational character. I mean, we saw it in the primary. Everybody was saying, well, we hope Donald Trump's going to be a nice guy. I hope he's not. And then he goes out and calls Marco Rubio Little Rubio, and he calls everybody the ugly face. I mean, he's confrontational. He's going to be confrontational with Mexico. Does Mexico think he's going to be Mr. Nice Guy?
Well, the only way, I mean, remember that every time that he got low in the polls, was when someone else was also confrontational against Trump, like Marco Rubio, when he was talking about the little hands. Well, he went a little down in the debates. So likewise with Hillary Clinton. On the second debate, when they were confrontational against Trump, Trump couldn't take it. I mean, he's very easily can make offense, but he's not good at defense. So, I mean, Mexico has to be a little bit smart about that. If he's doesn't play very diplomatic, then they have to be smart on how are they going to handle it.
What is Mexico's plan B? Because we heard Mexico had a plan if Trump became president. Do you even know what that is? I don't know what that is. They haven't publicized it?
No, and I highly doubt they have a plan about it. I mean, I'm sure they didn't expect Trump to win. I don't even think Trump expected to win. I don't think Mexico has a plan. I mean, maybe they're going to have a talk with him. Maybe they're going to try to get an agreement or something.
Well, his first thing he said he was going to do was going to throw a 35% tariff on all goods coming out of Mexico into the United States. Is that even doable? And if that happens, what happens to Mexico?
Well, it's going to be tough for companies here because many companies depend on export to the United States. But if it's not going to be the United States, maybe they got to look for someone else. I mean, maybe Canada, maybe Spain, or maybe China, Japan.
Or even Russia.
Yeah, Russia.
That's a good point because you know what? I don't think Americans mostly realize the level of trade that goes on between Mexico and the United States. For example, in the wintertime, a lot of the food that the Americans eat comes from Mexico. And I don't think they know that.
Yeah, many things come from here. And let's not forget, Mexico has a lot of resources that's not really, exploited. So if it's not going to be the United States, maybe it's going to be another country that may have an agreement. But I don't think the United States is going to throw off a deal with Mexico.
You don't think Trump is going to go Trump on Mexico and cause a trade war, build a wall, deport 15 million people? You don't think any of that's going to happen or some of that's going to happen?
I think some of it, but not all of it, because I think it was more rhetoric to win the campaign. And I'm seeing it more right now than he's won, then he's really going back and forth and you see his face and you see like he doesn't know what he's going to do right now. It's like a dog chasing a car and now the dog has a car. You know?
That's a good analogy. I like that one. Now, we do know that Trump just hired, and I'll read this to you real quick. Let's see if I can find it. Okay. It's funny. His name is Chris Kobach, the Kansas Secretary of State. He was the one that put together SB 1070, the Arizona immigration, you know, present your papers law. And this is going to be the head of the transition team for immigration for Donald Trump. So that to me is a signal that that's not a good signal.
No, that's not a good signal. Not at all.
He's on Washington Post right now saying that, you know, it's going to build a wall and we're going to deport everybody. And he's this guy, the KKK guy, his name is Chris Kobach of Kansas, KKK, which is, you know, interesting. But anyway, the KKK guy is going to do this, he says. He says, excited. He said, the only question is how quickly we can get it done and who's going to pay for it. So who's going to pay for this wall, Ian?
I think the United States for now. So, I mean, Trump has said it also, like he's going to send an invoice. So I'm not even sure, but it's going to be an issue. I mean, it's not what Trump does, it's what the people around Trump does. It's also in the social issue. The Trump supporters, what are they going to do right now? And I mean, we've seen a lot of stuff on day one, since he won, regardless of stuff. Then even the GOP has also, well, regretted those issues on terms of racism, discrimination. So we have to like wait a couple of weeks to see how all goes because it's all just fired up right now.
There's about 10 to 15 million undocumented workers in the United States right now. But I don't think Americans realize that a lot of those people are actually directly connected with Mexican Americans that actually live in the States. They're part of the same families. I'm not sure that they understand because Americans are all scared of ISIS. And I'm sure somewhere in America, there's an ISIS guy somewhere, you know, 5 or 6 or 7, maybe even 10 people somewhere, some cell somewhere. But they call that an insurgency. But I don't think they understand that by going after these 10 to 15 million people, that the other 50 million Mexican Americans, 50 million, are going to be the insurgent force.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you can't create panic in the public because it's going to be chaos and everywhere, every point. They're going to point fingers at everyone and everyone from everyone. So it's not a doable tactic. I mean, if you want to fight against ISIS or ISIS insurgency, that's not the way. I mean, if it's thing of immigration that they don't pay taxes, will make them pay taxes, create a law that does. I mean, I don't think legal immigrants are going to deny or going to negate paying some kind of taxes or income tax also. I mean, if they live there, they work there, I'm sure they can find a way to pay taxes. It's doable. It's just law. But I mean, to deport 11 million illegal immigrants, it's going to be tough. And I don't think Mexico is going to pay for it. I'm not sure how the federal government is going to do that logistics. Are they going to knock on door house to house? And that's kind of unconstitutional.
I think that's fairly fair to say that. That's the old Gestapo way, you know, Adolf Hitler way. Go, you know, give me your papers door to door, that type of thing. Yeah, that's going to be very interesting to see that happen in America. If it does, I believe that the Hispanic Americans, 50 million Mexican Americans, are going to rise up and going to fight, and it's going to turn into a civil war because Trump was not even elected in a majority. The majority elected Hillary Clinton. So if this guy thinks he's going to be running the country from the far right and to hell with everybody else, he's got a really big problem on his hands. He's going to have a civil war.
Yeah, I mean, he knows it. Because in his concession speech, I mean, let's not forget he wanted to unite the people because he realizes how divided we are. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be Trump has to be smart on who he surrounds himself. Because if he does those kind of things like going door to door, deport 11 million immigrants, Muslims, build the wall, it's going to be a chaos in the United States. And it's going to affect trade. It's going to affect the economy in the States. I mean, we've seen that since he won, the market just went down.
Well, the global investors around the world are not getting the joke. It's not funny to them because money travels to where they make more money. And if they feel any sense of instability, you know, this is the one thing that these right-wing Americans that, you know, a lot of them are good-hearted. A lot of them are good-natured. They just feel their government has screwed them. Some of them are not even racist. They're just looking the other way because they're so desperate for something. And they see a guy with a big plane and a gold watch. They think he could save them. That's what that's about, in my opinion. Obviously, there's the racist wing, and those people are there. And they did come out of the closet. Donald Trump's a racist. So, I mean, he's one of them. So it's not a problem. I had that argument with my friend. He kept telling me, he's not a racist. I said, well, let me ask you a question. If Michelle Obama said that Donald Trump wasn't qualified because he was white, would that be a racist statement? And he said, oh, yeah, she's a racist. I go, well, okay. Well, then Donald Trump said a federal judge is not qualified because he's Mexican. So what does that make him? So, you know, take that bullshit and shove it, because what you need to do is just understand that we're dealing with a racist, and that's okay. If he's a racist, you know, he's not the first president of the United States who's a racist. Andrew Johnson was a racist. Andrew Jackson was a racist. Ronald Reagan, Thomas Jefferson was a racist. So, I mean, these things are well documented. Trump is not even in the same league as these people yet, but he might be. We're going to find out. But the point is that racism and all this stuff got to go away. He's got to speak up. He's got to do something to stop this, because if he doesn't, the United States is going to end up in civil war. And if we end up in a civil war, it hurts everybody around the world, including the United States and Mexico. So Mexico doesn't want this either.
No. Yeah, I totally agree. And if that happens, who's going to come and combine? I mean, it's going to be China, Russia. It's going to be the big dog now. So the United States has to be very smart. And the point of the judge, well, Trump has a hearing in the end of the month with that judge here in San Diego. So I'm not sure what's going to happen in that case on the fraud for Trump University.
Yes, we're going to have the first president-elect who's a convicted fraudster. That's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Well, he's also got charges against him for, I don't know if that child rape lady, I think she got scared and either quit. I mean, I'd be scared too, to be honest. I mean, that guy's powerful, right? So you can't blame a lady. She's scared. The Trumpsters say that it was a conspiracy. But this guy's a confessed sexual abuser. I mean, he's confessed. I mean, we have it on tape, you know. So it's not a stretch to say that it's likely that he might have committed other acts of assault. But although, you know, innocent until proven guilty, so let's make sure that's clear. But this guy has a bad history of these kind of things. And, you know, a lot of people with big money like that feel that they can just roll over people at any time. We've seen that over and over again. That with that guy with the IMF, that rapist, got away with it too, the head of the IMF. So, you know, these rich, super, super rich people get away with a lot of things. And Trump got away with a lot of things. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I'm more concerned about what's going to happen in Mexico. Are they prepared? Is Mexico prepared for a trade war? Is Mexico prepared? Are the people prepared to lock down when he comes after Mexico? Because I think that's what's going to happen. I don't think he's going to be diplomatic. I think he's going to be confrontational. I think his people are going to try to stop him. You know, like they took away his Twitter account. Hey, Donald, you can't do that. And then he's going to go off and go crazy because he's not going to get anything he wants and again throw a fit. So, you know, if that's possible, we're going to end up in a war with the United States. I'm concerned about that. Aren't you?
Yeah, I'm very concerned. And, I mean, Mexico has also two sides, the north and the west, because it's going to affect more the border side of Mexico, like Baja California, Chihuahua, Nuevo León, because of the also not a trade, but also like the people living here, because they work in the other side in the United States, they live over here, or vice versa. So, I mean, people also buy on the side of the United States. I mean, a lot of Mexicans buy in the border in San Isidro. It's going to affect also the other side of the border with the United States on that side, on the economy, on the commerce. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But Mexico, I'm not sure it's if they're prepared, the federal government prepared for something like that.
As far as I'm aware of, they have not disclosed their plan B, and I'm not aware of any what they're doing. So I don't think the public knows exactly what Mexico's plan is to deal with Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, in some case, they're going to provide another, like maybe tax reliefs for another country so they can invest here and create work here.
Let's talk about that. Number one, the world is not, this is not 1980 or 1990. This is 2016, almost 2017. We live in a globalized world. You remember, Ian, 20 years ago, there was three car companies in Mexico and you couldn't even get a car loan. There was no money available. Today, we have all the car companies, including Porsche, Audi, blah, 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 in this country. This country has Chinese goods from all over China. Mexico's got trade with everybody, Chile, all these countries. I think if I was Mexico and I'm sitting there in DF going, what am I going to do? Well, I'd be on the phone immediately with China, with Chile, with Argentina, with Brazil, with all these great countries, with Europe, because if Trump does business with Russia and breaks up NATO, Europe's going to be in need of trading partners. So I would be on the phone with them going, you know what? U.S. doesn't want to do business with us anymore. So you know what? We're going to send you this stuff and I'm going to cut you a break. I'd be making deals left and right behind Trump's back and tell him to go screw off. And then let's see how the United States isolates itself and how it gets along. Because you know what? When it's winter time, about January, February, when everybody's going, we need good food. And you tell them, you know what? I don't think so. We're not sending our food over to you. So you know what? Take a hike. Starve. There's only one way to play with Trump. Hardball. Trump has no morals. He's amoral. He doesn't have principles at all. We see he has no principles. That's clear. The only principle is power. And the only thing that guy respects is power. So the only way to deal with him is leverage. There is no other way. You can't appeal to his good nature or his moral value or, hey, come on, Trump, be a nice guy. He has no nice side to him. He's a nasty predator.
He says one thing and he does another. So that's the kind of person he is. He's going to say, oh, yeah, make a deal. And then the other side is going to break the deal. So
I'm hoping that Mexico understands who they're dealing with. They're dealing with a coyote. And if you let the coyote in the hen house, he's going to eat the hen. So you have to basically understand you got to build a fence around a coyote and make sure he doesn't get loose because he's nasty. So I'm hoping Mexico gets it and is already on the phone getting leverage against them, because if they don't, we're all in trouble in Mexico. Mexico's going to be in deep trouble. Because this guy is an attack dog.
It's not going to depend also on who wins in 2018 here in Mexico for a presidency. I mean, once Peña Nieto's gone, and it's going to be like in the half the first term of Trump. So
we already know Pri is going to lose. There's no way Pri wins. I mean, how could Pri win? 90% plus Mexicans can't stand the guy.
Yeah, and also with the government, the governors of Chihuahua and Veracruz, who are right now fugitive. Well, Veracruz is a fugitive, but and Chihuahua is also for corruption. No relation, because they're also Duarte. Yeah, it's Cesar Duarte and Javier Duarte. They're accused for corruption, two governors of PRI. So, I mean, Panetta has been not a good president for me. Maybe for someone else, but...
Well, for most Mexicans that I talk to, most Mexicans say that he's not been good for Mexico, that the previous president was a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, his main issue is raising taxes and not doing, like, not doing things, you know?
So he's going to be out in 2018, and Trump's going to deal with whoever we elect in Mexico here to deal with the Trump. So we're going to find out real quick what happens, right?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting and fun.
Okay, on the last note, we got 2 minutes here, Ian. What do you really think is going to happen? Be honest. Tell me exactly what you think is going to happen in the next year. Where are we going to be here?
In the first half, it's going to be a lot of speculation. It's going to be a lot of people talking about what's going to do, who's going to be in there. And it's going to be more like a reality show, pre-talk, you know, like a pre-show. And the second half of the first year, well, I don't think it's much that's going to happen. I mean, sincerely, I don't think Trump is going to do much different. He's going to be like all talk and do nothing. And because the GOP also doesn't going to want that. Also, they have the Congress. So there's going to be like a back and forth against Trump and the GOP, but closed doors, not open doors, I think. The Democrats, that's going to be a real big issue because they need to reform. The establishment wasn't good in this election. I mean, but on the other side, if progressives want to regain presidency or regain power in Congress or reform the party, they need to start right now. They don't need to start when the next election comes. They need to reform the party right now. And if Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren or I don't know who is going to be the head of the DNC, they want to do something to reform how the election does, eliminate super delegates. They need to do it right now. Because if they continue on with the same establishment, the same rules, they're going to lose again. And they're going to lose against Trump in the second term.
If Trump's alive. I mean, right now, my feeling is, not to be rude, but the people that are going to hate him the most are his own people when he doesn't give them what they expect. I think they're extremists. They have a lot of guns and they're crazy. And, you know, people laugh when I say that, but you know what? Mahatma Gandhi, Anwar Sadat, and Yitzhak Rabin all were assassinated by their own extremist wings of their own people. So I don't think Trump should fear the Democrats. I think Trump should fear the extreme right. The Nazis that he coddled that don't get the whole white agenda that they're expecting, they're going to get really pissed. For example, apparently he met with Obama yesterday and he said to Obama, I'm not going to get rid of Obamacare. I'm just going to adjust it and we're going to do a few things. And you should have seen the Facebook, the Trump Facebook people. They're going apeshit. They want to kill the guy. You know, it hasn't even been 2 days and they're already in his face. So I'm against Trump and I despise his rhetoric and his racism, but I'm against violence and I don't think we should gain it by violence. But I'm concerned that, you know, he needs to prepare for himself, not from the Democrats or the left wing people, but his own right wing extremists. That's who I'd be watching if I was him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Republicans also need to note that also because they need to reform their party also because they took a hit, although they won everything. They took a big hit during the campaign and they got lucky or I don't know. But the thing is, those extreme right wing people who support Trump now are part of the party, of the Republican Party. And I don't think they're going to win more elections with that rhetoric. They need to change. Much like the Democrats are going more progressive, Republicans should go more libertarian. because that's an idea that many young people like, libertarianism.
Ian, on that note, we're out of time. I'm going to say thank you for appearing on the Johnny Punish Show. I really appreciate you being on today.
Yeah, thank you also.
Good day, America! From the deserts to the sea, from the mountains to the snow, this concludes today's Johnny Punish Show. Produced by the Veterans Today Network and BTN Radio. Brought to you by HireVeterans.com, America's job board for U.S. veterans. I'm your host, Johnny Punish, wishing you an amazing day. Until we meet again!